Game over. It's the Footy Wrap, football's round in review. And the early markets for next weekend with Adam White and Andrew Hughes.
Yes, you're with Andrew Hughes, Adam White along to talk about the weekend's football and so many talking points. How are you, Adam?
I'm good, thank you, Andrew. Yes, certainly plenty of talking points to come out of the weekend, particularly from the Friday night, the Saturday and the Saturday night games. Yesterday really didn't sort of tell us too much, except for potentially some injury and suspension issues for two leading clubs. But overall, I think we learned a lot from what happened on Friday night and through the Saturday games.
Some amazing games, so many contests, finishing with just a few points the difference. But one thing that doesn't change, the Tigers keep winning and they're $2.50 tab favourites.
They are. And as it stands at the moment, they're a game clear on top of the ladder, but they're now 2.5 games clear of third and 3 games clear inside the top four. So they have proven, Andrew, over the year to clearly be the best team in it. They got a big fright on Friday night against the Cats, who came hard late with Geelong kicking 5 goals in the last quarter to Richmond's 2, which proves that there isn't a lot of difference between the Tigers and sort of everyone else in the top sort of 7 or 8. But I still think there is a gap. And Richmond's an interesting team for me at the moment. I think, let's be clear, I think $2.50 is about the right price for Richmond. But at the same point, I don't think I would be betting on Richmond at that price. But I just wonder with the Tigers, they're not playing at their best at the moment. But is that because they've just trailed off a little bit? Or is it because they are waiting for the finals? And I'm inclined to think that they are waiting for the finals. If you look at their last 3 games, they've got Gold Coast this week, then they've got Essendon and finish with the Bulldogs. I don't think they're going to lose top spot. You sort of look at the percentage difference between Richmond and West Coast. It's now 11%. So even if the Tigers were, say, to drop the game against Essendon, they're still going to finish on top. They're still clearly going to finish inside the top two. So Richmond will have those two finals, or potentially those two finals, those qualifying finals, to be able to get themselves in a grand final at the MCG. So it's up to the Tigers. They control their own destiny. They're going to play at a venue that they just don't lose at. And even though it was tight on Friday night, they still won the game, and they will finish inside the top two. That's why they're $2.50.
The way the ladder's worked out, you almost get the sense that the Giants will either be third or out of the top four, just that draw 2 points in there. With Richmond, Adam, is there any side that punters would prefer them not or to play that might fall into the fourth spot?
It's a difficult question. It's a good question. It's a difficult question because I think Richmond would want to, I would say, avoid a Melbourne-based club or a Victorian-based club in fourth. So I think they would prefer a Giants or a West Coast, or maybe even a Port Adelaide, because of that advantage of, you know, playing against a non-Victorian club there. I kind of feel that when Richmond's at their best, they've got them all covered. But I just wonder whether the teams like the Giants and Melbourne and Geelong, the teams that have got the really good midfields, are the ones that potentially could worry Richmond. But, yeah, I mean, they're just so good at the MCG. It's just hard to know who is the team best equipped to beat them, because they've beaten all the key challenges there. The game against Geelong on Friday night was an interesting one, because I don't think Geelong played very well, yet they're 3 points behind. But is that because Richmond don't allow teams to play well? I'm not sure. I mean, you know, Ablett had a quiet one, but Dangerfield was good, Selwood was good, Duncan was good. It's that midfield that I still think can worry the Cats, can worry the Tigers. But at the end of the day, Richmond's beaten Geelong now the last 3 times, all games at the MCG.
Be interesting to know on stats where they sit if you tallied up leads at 3-quarter time across the whole comp. They may not be the best team in that space. I guess if you keep having to kick away in the last quarter, you leave it dangerously close. Greater Western Sydney, Adam, let's move on to them. They're $7 second favourites at tab. Way back at the start of the season in tab markets, Richmond and the Giants were almost the equal premiership favourites, or 1 and 2. It's now ended that way, but the journey to get to this point has been totally opposite. But you've said for the last few months the Giants are coming, and but they have more injuries. So we keep balancing up injuries with form, and that's a bit of a quandary at times.
It's a frustrating one with the Giants, because if you've you know, invested on them throughout the course of the year. You're just not getting a fair run at it because of the players that are missing. And, you know, that's how Leon Cameron would feel about it at the moment. Just when they were starting to get players back into their team and a couple of other really important players on the verge of returning, the likes of Zach Williams and Tom Scully, they get more injuries. And they're key ones too, Andrew, because Dawson Simpson has been one of the key reasons why the Giants have played better. They've got a ruckman that can really compete around the ground and at centre bounces. He doesn't need to necessarily win, but he competes hard and gives their midfield a much better opportunity around the ground. Toby Green, we know how important he is to them. And Brett Deledio has been playing some really good footy for the Giants since returning. So he's just got that extra class factor that helps, you know, whether it be around half forward, around half back, or even through the midfield. So they're the three key injuries to come from the weekend. They are going to get probably Griffin back this week, Taranto, Scheel. So they've got some good players to still come back into the team. I mentioned Scully and Zach Williams. It's just a question of whether they can get them all back and get enough football into them for them to make a significant difference come the final series. But look, you don't read into anything that happened against Carlton yesterday. It's more the fact that they've been playing good football now for nearly 3 months. They've pushed themselves from well outside the top eight to third position on the ladder. I think that's where they'll stay, as in inside the top four. So they're only half a game clear inside the top four. But they kind of are masters of their own destiny now, because the games they've got to come, they've got Adelaide in Canberra. Now, you'd expect them to win that. They've then got Sydney, and that game is at Spotless Stadium. You'd expect them to win that. And then they finish with Melbourne. They should, before that Melbourne game, be entrenched inside the top four. If they were to drop one of the Adelaide Crows or Sydney, it leaves them vulnerable going into that last game against the Demons to make sure they're inside the top four, because that game is at the MCG. But to me, they just seem, Andrew, to be the logical danger to Richmond because of that midfield that is just so strong. However, I will say they seem to be the logical enemy of Richmond in last year's final series, and Richmond just didn't allow them to play it on their terms in that preliminary final and won quite comfortably. So I think we've got to remember that as well.
The West Coast Eagles are $7.50 third favourites for the premiership at TAB, and they've got some games that they will start outsiders in. They've got games that they will be the favourite in. I guess that one against Brisbane, they may hold on to second spot with one or two wins, but now this gaff situation throws the spanner into the works. Obviously, you agree he won't be playing for a while. If not, who knows? But he won't be playing certainly while the West Coast Eagles are trying to hold on to second spot. Can they hold on to second spot?
They are a mystery, West Coast, because of who they play and what has happened with Andrew Gaff now. So to go into the final three games and then a final series without Nat Nui and Gaff makes it very difficult for them. Very, very difficult. You get their key ruckman and their best and most reliable midfielder and just a prolific ball getter that doesn't waste the ball. That's going to have a huge impact on them. The reason why I just don't know with West Coast, it's their last three games. They could win all three. They could lose all three. They've got a tough one this week. And people say, oh, it's not tough. Well, Port Adelaide need to win maybe two more just to make the finals. So they've got Port Adelaide this week at the Adelaide Oval. Then they've got Melbourne at home. That's a difficult one. And then they finish with Brisbane, who are sort of that wild card in the bottom four or five on the ladder. You never know what you're going to get from Brisbane, particularly at home. So it's just a hard one to judge. On face value, you see them, they're two games clear inside the top four. You think they'd probably at least stay in the top four, but I maintain for West Coast to be any chance of even reaching a grand final, they need to be finishing inside the top two to give themselves a chance of two home finals to get to the grand final, and I reckon they're vulnerable.
They could still hold on to second with even one win.
Just they could.
Because it would mean some of those teams on 48 would have to win out every game, and Sydney, Greater Western Sydney would have to win every game or at least a couple. So, as you say, anything could happen. They could win a few and stay there. They could win one game and stay there.
And that's
there.
Why, Andrew, it's really difficult doing this segment at the moment because, look, it's just impossible. I went through, got on the AFL website last night and went through the ladder predictor. and, you know, sort of went through what I thought might happen. And then by just changing just a couple of results, it has wild swings to the makeup of the top eight. And I'm talking about, you know, Hawthorn maybe making the top four, Hawthorn missing altogether. As we look at it at the moment, Andrew, Geelong and North Melbourne aren't inside the top eight. There are a massive chance that both of them will make the top eight, and we're at round 21 this weekend. So it's a fantastic lead into the final series. I'm not sure whether it's a good or a bad thing for punting. You're either getting value or you've actually got no idea what the hell's going to happen over the next month, let alone the finals.
It's RSN 927's Footy Wrap.
With Andrew Hughes, Adam White. Adam trying to make some sense of an amazing season with so many different permutations over the remaining rounds. We're just going through the tab futures markets for the Premiership. And Melbourne are $8 now, and they are in fourth spot. And a lot of people have been on their bandwagon for a while. A lot of people still suggest they are vulnerable, but they're impressive when they're on, Adam.
They are, but they're betting up on all the poor teams. They've still got something to prove against the good teams, and that's what makes them a really difficult team to assess. I think their best football is almost the best football, but it's too patchy against the good sides. So when teams are allowed, when the good teams are able to stop Melbourne playing it on its terms, they become a little bit better than average only. So my feeling is it's too soon for Melbourne to be seen as a genuine premiership contender. That being said, I think they're going to be a very good team for the next 3 to 5 years. It might be this year, but I've just got a feeling it's a little too soon. But it wouldn't surprise me at all, Andrew, if they were the Bulldogs of a couple of years ago and just got on a real tear through a final series and just ripped it apart. But I just think defensively they're a little bit short, and maybe a little bit short when it comes to the experience stakes. Maybe they've just, not maybe, I'm going to say, I think they have to experience a final series first and to beat good teams before you can say they are a genuine premiership contender. That being said, I think they've got all the pieces there, except maybe defender short, which is that's why that Jake Lever injury is so important to them. But they're a very dangerous team on their day.
The start of the year, I think a lot of people would have suggested if Collingwood would make the finals, that would be a pass. But of course, it was less than a month ago, Adam, they had a chance to be top of the AFL table, and now they're sliding through a few tough games they've lost, and they still have a couple of games they'll start favourites in, I think, against the Frio Dockers and Brisbane, but they are going in the wrong direction.
Well, it was just a costly loss for them on Saturday night. They were the big losers of the weekend. It was only by a couple of points, but it just meant that they are now vulnerable when it comes to finishing inside the top four. As it stands at the moment, they're in sixth slot. When you look at the ladder, as you said, Andrew, they should win at least two of their last three with games against Brisbane this week. When I say it's at home, it's in Melbourne. It's at Etihad Stadium, and they finish with Port Adelaide. They finish with Port Adelaide and then Fremantle away in that last game. But with the amount of players that are out of Fremantle's team and just the youth of Fremantle's team, they do look very tired. You'd think that Collingwood would win that game. So two wins out of three is a minimum. Port Adelaide's the other one they've got, so it might be three wins. That gets them back into the top four conversation, but they'd be ruining the one that got away. And a lot of that, Andrew, is to do with an injury issue again. Had Darcy Moore played or been able to finish the game, I'm not sure whether Lance Franklin would have had such a big impact on the final result. He's kicked 6 goals, 4, and was clearly the difference between the two teams.
Well, Adam, right now Geelong are outside the eight. They're $11. Some might say that's a bit of value at TAB for the Premiership because on their day they're as good as anyone. They almost beat the $2.50 TAB favourites Richmond. So right now, $11, you're backing aside the Geelong that could go all the way or might not even make it.
Well, the Cats will win their last two. So they've got the Suns and Fremantle to finish, both at home. So that gets them to 52 points and 13 wins. They should be able to improve their percentage, which currently sits at 118. So I do think Geelong will make it. And they've got the big game against Hawthorn this week, which gives them an outside chance for top four. But I think more than anything else, they want 5 or 6 on the ladder so they get a home final in the first week. So I've said it all year, and I maintain the fact that I think that Geelong is the team most likely to worry Richmond. As we saw on Friday night, it was an awfully close finish. But the problem for Geelong is that their seeding come the final series might not be high enough to be able to get to a grand final or get to a preliminary final where they might meet the Tigers. So I was disappointed with how they played on Friday night. I like what they did in the last quarter, but they were just too dour through the first three quarters. It is an issue with Geelong. I just don't like the way they go about it. I love it when they play offensive football, but when they play that dour, slow ball movement sort of football, that's what gets me frustrated about them, considering what they've got through the midfield. Maybe they're too sort of... maybe they're carrying too many young players to be a contender, but I still think if all those midfielders fire on the one day with Hawkins and Menzel in that forward line, they're still awfully dangerous, and I still think they represent the value, even though they currently sit in ninth spot on the ladder.
Just briefly, a few of the other sides. Port Adelaide are $21 chances. They've blown a few games, albeit that controversial finish, but they...
I don't think they're good enough.
No. Not as good as we thought. Are they overrated,
I thought they were good enough, Andrew, about 2 months ago, and they certainly had set up their season really well, but I don't think they're good enough. I actually don't think their midfield is good enough, and I thought that was one of their stronger parts of their game, but they're too hot and cold. Hawthorn's the other one that I did want to mention.
Well, you can tie them in with Sydney because they actually played each other this week. Did they not?
No, the Hawthorn played Geelong, so Hawthorn and Sydney played in the last game. I just don't know what to make of Hawthorn. They're 12 wins, 7 losses. They're in 5th spot on the ladder. They can't do much more in a way because if you look at what they've done this year, they've been able to beat a lot of teams around them. But you just look at them and feel that there's just not enough. There's not enough there through the midfield. But their system holds up and they've still got some really good players, you know, midfield, Mitchell and O'Meara, obviously, but a lot of very dangerous players forward of centre. There were times there against Essendon, I thought Hawthorn were going to get beaten by 100 points. They just looked too slow and they just couldn't keep up, and Essendon just looked far too strong for them. But they find a way to stay in the game, and they don't panic, and they got another win, albeit by a couple of points. They are so hard to assess. They shouldn't be, because they're 12 wins and 7 losses, as I mentioned, and 5th spot on the ladder, but I just don't know what to make of them. They're the really strange team in that mix, because when you've got the Giants and Melbourne and even Geelong around them, that you just feel that they've got so much more artillery. Hawthorn's beaten Melbourne. They can match it with the Giants, and they beat Geelong earlier in the year.
And just in 30 seconds or so, a quick word about Sydney. Did they save their season, or is it just on life support?
I don't think they can make it. It was a good win, but when you look at who they've got to come, they've got Melbourne, they've got the Giants. It's just too tough a run for the Swans to make it. They'd have to win all three, and because their percentage is, and that's because their percentage is where it is, it's not strong enough. It's only 109, so 13 wins and Sydney's percentage won't be enough, so they've got to find a way to get to 14 wins, and I just don't think they can win their last three. Their draw's too tough.
And North Melbourne still have St Kilda, and as well as that...
Oh, North Melbourne can make it.
So they're $67 at tab to win the premiership, but making it and winning the premiership are two different things. But you think they can get there still?
Oh, absolutely they can, because they've got the easiest draw. They need to win all three. What are they for top eight?
Top eight, in fact, at the moment is North Melbourne, $275.
Yeah, they can definitely make the eight.
All right, they needed to win.
They needed to win that game against Brisbane. They needed Cam Rayner to miss, but there's no doubt the Kangaroos are still very much in the hunt.
So much to talk about. We look forward to hearing you across the week on the Breakfast Club, the Footy Late Mail on Friday. Thank you, Adam.
I don't think we learnt anything, because it really is just so open. But you know, that's what this season has been. It's been a terrific season for that, and hopefully we can find some value, because I think there's plenty out there. You've just got to be on the right horse.
You can hear the Footy Wrap again on iTunes, on Facebook, and on the podcast page at rsn.net.au.